We continue in our studies in Proverbs in our service today, and Amanda's going to read some selections from Proverbs to us as a setting for it.
Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands, within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success to store for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path, for wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones.
I know we fairly often say this, that we are amazingly privileged to have so many talented people who can help us in our worship and in our learning. And I'm very grateful to everyone who's been sharing in the service today, because that's been really great. Now the difficult part comes, though. The Book of Proverbs. This is a fantastic book. It's got so much in it, and that's always the problem for the preacher, of course. Today we're looking at what it says about friends and friendship. What makes for good human relationships? Now, if you remember Peter Thatcher last week led us brilliantly in the service, and he found he was compelled to leave aside the 3-point sermon and give us a 10-point one. Well, today I'm attempting to recoup the balance, and it will be a 3-point sermon. There are a few subdivisions. There's about 10 of them, actually. So sorry about that. But I think what we need to get... The thing about Proverbs, it's like a machine gun that keeps firing thoughts and ideas and coming back to some of them and reinforcing them and so on. So it's sometimes a bit difficult to simply get a grip, if you like, on the overall concept. But the overall concept essentially is really simply this one of wisdom, of what it means to be wise in how you deal with anything. And the Book of Proverbs seeks to try and help us see that in a number of different ways. It's important to bear in mind, it's not just the scattergun things it says, but the overall pattern in which it says it. Because that's really quite important. Because some of the things that it says, we probably wouldn't do today. It's not quite relevant for us in a sense. Or if we did, we might find ourselves in trouble. I'll talk about that a bit later on. But the point is, you look at the specifics, we look at the breadth of it as well. And we're going to look, first of all, Look for truth in relationships. That's one of the big patterns. And I mean by truth, what is true about our humanity? What is the reality that we live in? What is it to be husband and wife? What is it to be children? What is it to be friends? What is it to be at work? What is it to be engaged in commerce and relationships with people? What is the right pattern for that? The pattern that gives life, that encourages and makes, well, for wise living. We need to have healthy patterns of our life. So there's a need for a word that sometimes we don't like to use so much now, discipline. So whoever heeds discipline shows the way to life. But whoever ignores correction leads others astray. Or actually even more sort of strident, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. Yeah, well, I don't know many of us who like being corrected, quite honestly, do we, frankly? But I think we do know that sometimes we need a pattern for how our life should be. That we need, what we sometimes say when we're talking about family life, boundaries. You know, boundaries, in other words, places where you know that you don't step across, or if you do, you get back pretty quickly. And the boundary may be as simple as, don't touch that fire guard when the fire's on because it's jolly hot. Or it may be, think about your sister and how you're treating her and what you're saying to her. There's a boundary to the words you can use. You can't always be nasty. You've got to be kind and so on. Those sorts of things. Who makes the decisions? Where should they be? Children very much want to make nearly all the decisions in our family life, I've discovered over the years. And sometimes their decisions aren't exactly always well wise. Mainly, give me more food, let me watch the telly more, where's my Xbox? Now, we need to have some boundaries there, simply, for a healthy pattern of life. Because it's not always a good thing to be eating all that you want to eat, because sometimes that's just going to make you a very fat person that's not very healthy. It's not always a good thing to get yourself absorbed in social media all the time, because that could lead you in some very dark places, quite frankly, the way the social media acts today. I was in a school a little while ago, as it happened, at year one school, happened to sit in on an assembly, and the assembly was about, guess what you think it was about? It was about keeping yourself safe online. Now, these are 5 and 6-year-olds. But I talked to the teacher. He said, we've got to do it because these kids are getting exposed to all sorts of stuff. There needs to be the boundaries, you see. That's what discipline's about. Boundaries are not things to limit people or to bind them up or to punish them. They're to guide. And that's essentially what we need to do. So we carry on. Love to... Another thing, family life. It's meant to be an adornment. It's something special. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. In other words, family life's a good thing. It's something where we look for joy, where we look for beauty, where we're not there just to control the kids or to sort them out or to push them in a particular direction. Parents can do all of these things if we're not careful, can't we? That we have an idea of what we would like, but that may not be where that child is meant to go. That may be not what God has in place for them. So we need to have both the encouragement and the discipline, but we've got to have the encouragement greatly. That's really, really important. Because family life is a joy, or at least it's meant to be. I know it's not always, because sometimes we do get a bit angry, we get a bit grumpy, and that's just the mums and the dads, let alone what the kids get up to. But the fact of the matter is, it's part of the pattern for God's life in us. It's how he's made the human race to work well. And when it works well, then it's really good. Talking about family life, then, there's also therefore a need for faithfulness within those families. This is said quite often. Of a wife, may you ever be intoxicated with her love. My son, why be intoxicated with another man's wife? I like the notion of being drunk on your wife. It's a very interesting one, that. But it's Proverbs trying to get across the joy of things, the excitement of things, and recognizing that in the area of sexual relationships, there can be problems because of that. Because that's a strong drive, a strong pleasure. Therefore be faithful. Faithfulness is a critical thing in the life of any family, not just between husband and wife, but also between parents and children. If we say something to our children, we need to keep our promises, don't we? And sometimes we're a bit less than doing that, you know, we just fob them off or something like that or get annoyed. We need to be faithful in how we are dealing with them, because that's part of the structure, that's part of the discipline, that's part of what it's meant to be like. More truth in relationships. Work and commerce. When you're dealing with people, there needs to be some integrity. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes a crooked path will be found out. Basically what's being said here is God has a pattern of truth and life that he wants human lives to lead out, and that should be true in commerce. So it isn't all just about getting as much money as you can out of people. It's about being truthful. It's about offering honest products. It's about offering honest dealings. I was speaking to a manager once who just got a new job in the hospitality area, as it happened. And he ordered some stuff, and the suppliers came back and said, well, we'll give it to you when you pay your bills. He thought, hang on, what's this? He just started, didn't know about this. He inquired and found that they owed quite a lot of money to this company, they hadn't paid the bills. But he also found that the people they owed most money to, or the people who owed most money to them, were the directors of the company. That they seemed to be taking money out, really, and not putting anything back in. He decided to look for another job. Because it was impossible to work with integrity in that sort of situation. And he didn't feel he could bring about any change in there at that time. We need to be people who hold to what's true and not what's false. But there's also another part to that. Oh, well, yeah, the Lord detests honest scales, but accurate weights find favour with him. That's obviously the context is the marketplace that was typical in those days. I'm not quite sure what are honest scales these days, in a sense, in other areas, banking, maybe, commerce of various sorts, accounting, what else? Who else we got in the armed services? Just looking for a few other jobs, yes. Yeah, well, whatever, you know what I'm saying, don't you? There have to be some ways, some standards of truth and of honesty, because otherwise the whole thing falls apart. This is wisdom. This is how life will flourish rather than not flourish. But with that, there also needs to go a bit of a good work ethic. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. Or lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. Proverbs says, look, if you're going to work, do it properly. Don't mess about with it. There is something, in fact, the ability to work is God's gift. At the very beginning in the book of creation, before the fall, it says that Adam and Eve were in the garden to till it and keep it, to look after it. And it was good to do that. It was only later that Adam found, after everything had gone wrong, that it was a chore to work. Work is meant to be something that fulfills us as people. That's what we've been made for, in a sense. And if we try to have, we seek to have that attitude, we put the right sort of effort into it, if we put our time, our thoughts, our concerns, our love into it, then it becomes something that's really, really good. So, there you have that. That's all sorts of things. But this is the second point. Okay. Look for grace in relationships. And I think this is important to balance up some of the things that sound a bit legal, if you like. It's not so much what we do, but how we do it that's really important, wisdom. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers over all wrongs. Better a dish of vegetables with love than a fattened calf with hatred. Love and faithfulness, you see those two going together as the cardinal virtues, if you like, of real wisdom. If we are people who express love in the way that God calls us to express it, with faithfulness, then that will be something building up, not ourselves, but also society as well. It will bless relationships. It will mean that we will have harmony and joy. Part of that love will be generosity. This is encouraged a great deal. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. You notice love moving into generosity seeks out need and seeks to meet it. Love is not self-centered. It's always expressing itself outwardly, in the family, obviously, but beyond into society as well, with friends, but with people who may not be our friends, but are not in such a good place, the poor, as it says. We're not called to be, wisdom is not penny pinching. Wisdom is not slicing bits off the budget, as it were, just to make it look good. Love, wisdom, is seeking where there's need and meeting it. And where there is abundance is drawing on that abundance to meet that need, because that's what community life is meant to be about. That's generosity. But also, look for grace in relationships. It's simply in kindness. I think sometimes we think of kindness as being one of those slightly wet things. Do you know what I mean? Oh, be kind. You say to, you know, when the kid's having a fight, be kind, be kind. Doesn't always work, but you can try it. But kindness is a very powerful thing. Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. Paul quotes this in his letter to the Romans, if you recall. And it says that if you do that, you'll heap burning coals on the person's head. They don't mean literally, but it was meant that might turn them around. That might create a change of heart in people. Kindness can change bad hearts. That's what the wisdom of Proverbs is saying. And maybe that's something, therefore, we need to seek to be doing a little bit more than we do. I'm sure you are. I know you're all kind people. I can look at you out there. I can see that. It's beaming on your faces. Even the people up there on the shelf, you know. You are kind. Let's just keep doing it. I think that's the thing. Seek out ways, little ways, big ways. It's coming up to Christmas, that's a good time to think about kindness, really. But think again about the people who don't normally get it, the folk who are anxiety-ridden, or the ones that are hungry, or the ones who are in conflict with you. Think about that. Think about those who are on their own. Think about those who are far from home. Think about those who actually just need that word or that action that will just lighten the day and bring brightness. That's wisdom in relationships. But then just one third point. Look for God. If you look for truth, if you look for grace, look for God. If we want to be wise, we must do this. The proverb says, "If ask for wisdom." Well, that means praying, doesn't it, basically? Call out for wisdom. Cry aloud for understanding, it says. This is the way of going. You will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now, just something here. Fear of the Lord. We're not talking, obviously, we are not talking about a God who makes us cringe because he's powerful and annoyed with us and angry and what have you. The fear of the Lord is much more about marveling at the wonder of God, of being in awe of his power, his majesty, but also being astonished that that power and majesty can be focused on me, on little me, in love and care. And that even at my worst, God loves me. While you were still sinners, Paul says, Jesus died for us and showed God's love. That's awe-inspiring, isn't it? Do you not, are you not amazed that that's what God is like? If you think back into the time of Jesus, the gods that typically people, you know, the Roman gods, the Greek gods, and all the other sorts of gods, they were a rotten lot, basically. You know, chucking thunderbolts at people, messing people's lives up, and generally speaking, couldn't particularly care for human beings, except for what they could get out of them. Jesus showed, well, the people of Israel showed, but it became flesh in Jesus, the God who loves, the God who cares, the God who embraces people, the God who wants the best for them and so will discipline them sometimes, but the God who is love is at work. That's important that we get that right. But also, as we don't cringe before that power, there's just one other thing that we do need to do. And simply this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your paths straight. In the Message version it comes out like this. Listen for God's voice in everything, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. We need to be people who don't, well, you know this, we don't just seek to be with God on a Sunday. God is with us all the time, and we need to be, just become a little bit more aware of that, perhaps. So that in the difficult circumstances we find ourselves in, we may hear that gentle prompting from God about how we should behave. That when we're next faced with some situation where we're going to get very angry with somebody, we might just hear God saying to us, there's a way of peace, it's a better way. We need to be people who actually do take God at his word. Because Proverbs is not about rules, but about gaining the inner ability to discern what's right in any given situation. But to do that, we need to be in touch with God himself. The guidance is there. The ability to do it comes from God. The guidance, the pattern may be there, but the will to do it will come from God. And that's about our relationship with him. That's about the fact we trust him. Because sometimes he's going to want us to make decisions that we don't want to make. That are hard or difficult or upsetting. But we have to trust him. And actually often we'll find something working out. That I was telling someone a little while ago, just before I was due to retire, I was asked if I would take on a particular role that was a bit one of these roles that makes you look good. You know that? You know, there are some about, believe it or not, in the Baptist Union. But anyway, so I was asked to do it. But at a point where we were about to action this, something went wrong. Somebody misunderstood the motivation that I had in taking this role and had a go at me. And I felt, I can't go ahead if anybody thinks that I'm doing this for the wrong reasons. That's just not honouring God. So I stepped back from it. Fair enough, that was it. Bit of a disappointment, what have you, and all the rest of it, etc. I knew that God had been at work even in that upsetting situation when later, of course, my wife became ill a few months after I retired, and we therefore needed to be very much together about that. If I'd been gallivanting off doing stuff all over the shop, that wouldn't have helped, would it? There was wisdom in what God was doing in that situation. I didn't see it at the time, but at least I managed to trust him, I think, at that time. Because he is utterly trustworthy. Even when things do seem bad, even when they are a problem to us, we can trust him and accept that his path and his way will be the best for us. We really do need to be in touch with him. So there's your summary. Look for truth in relationships. Look for grace in relationships. Look for God. And just that final one, I've mentioned it already in one sense, but if any of you know John's Gospel, you see I've been coming at this from a slightly different angle. At the beginning of John's Gospel, it says the Word became flesh, that's Jesus. And it said he came amongst us, he lived amongst us, full of grace and truth. It's in Jesus that we see this wisdom that Proverbs speaks of. And it's in Jesus we can go to have that wisdom become much, much more part of our lives. So that we too may be people who flourish. That we might be an adornment to people. That we might be a pleasure to people. And also, incidentally, when that happens, we're a joy to ourselves too. It isn't such a bad thing when you think about it. Wisdom in relationships with God. I'd like us to do something that I know I've done before, but I think it always helps. It always helps me, put it like that, that when I have been going on and on, like I've just been going on and on, I need to stop and be quiet and simply listen to God. And if you've been hearing me going on and on and on and on, you know you need to be quiet and have a bit of peace. What I'd like us to, this is some verses from chapter 3 in Proverbs. I'd like us just to dwell in this a little, you know, dwelling in the word we call it sometimes. I'll read it through a couple of times. Getting slower each time. Simply see what God may underline for you in this. If there's a particular phrase or a particular thing, what's God saying to you in it? And just chew on it for a bit, in the quietness, as it were. savor what God's word's saying and let it become part of you, let it become part of me. Let's just pray first of all. Lord, here is your word. Help us, we pray, to hear you not just in the words of a preacher, but of your spirit in our hearts, dwelling in us, and taking this passage of scripture and making it live for us. So either with your eyes closed or open, doesn't matter, but just let's be still, quietly settle. And now hear these words and let them simply come into your consciousness. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them round your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favour and a good name in the sight of God and humankind. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. It will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. As you hear it again, just simply look for what really resonates with you. What is the Lord underlining for you? Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them round your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favour and a good name in the sight of God and humankind. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. It will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. And in the quietness, whatever God has underlined for you, whatever phrase or idea, just hold that before him in prayer. Chew it over, as we say. Let it become part of your thinking and feeling and being. Listen for God's voice in everything, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Lord, we give you thanks for what you have underlined for us. We pray that in our coming week, what you have spoken to us, what you have stressed for us, may enrich our lives, but also the lives of people around us too. And so may we show more of your grace and your rich goodness. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.